universe subserve a divine purpose. You will be able to gauge yourself today of what kind of consciousness you maintain in your daily life and how much you truly want God. 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%, 75%, 100%. You will be able to classify yourself. Another fellow that through millenniums and centuries known as Jesus. God sent into the planets and the solar system soul with different states of realization corresponding to the desire for salvation and redemption of a particular nation or planet or numbers of individuals. Therefore, the Master explained that first, we go back into the early century when first Christianity was manifested, after that great expressions of love of Jesus Christ which totally failed to impress people, God sent his ascetics. He sent the early desert father. Have you ever read the Philokalia or the life of the desert father? Who were the example at that time of the true Christian, who renounced like Saint Anthony of the Desert, Saint Jerome, who renounced everything and lived in deepest desert, into caves, into grottos, and devote their life ceaselessly to the of God. At that time, they had a specific technique, which when I was in Greece, about in 76, in Meteora, 150 miles from Athens, there is those high monasteries like the Mount Athos. And there I sat down with the emperor for several centuries, sat down, and night and day, as they inhale, O Lord Jesus Christ, and they exhale, have mercy on me, which is very similar to the Homso technique, as some of the fathers went to India and came back from India and taught among themselves yogic techniques similar to the Homso technique. So the great anchorites placed their entire life upon God, and here and there people came to meet them. Later on, as the people become a little more aware, God begin to send their saints, like a saint, let's say, great saint of love, like Saint Catherine of Siena, who was known as the Divine Mama of the 13th century as a guru. So was Saint Francis of Assisi. But Saint Francis of Assisi was do it or else. It was threatening. There was no choice for Saint Francis of Assisi. And so was Saint Teresa of Avila and all the saints. So the saints come and more or less threaten you. You have to do it or you're going to go straight to hell. Now, as the nation, some nation in the planet advance more rapidly, or have always a group of more spiritual people like India, there come the Ascended Masters. The Ascended Masters from time to time, throughout all the centuries of India, has been great, great masters, not just saints, but Ascending Masters, who were practically one with God. And they came with their wisdom, gradually convincing people, like we are being convinced by the Master, to motivate your life to increase your spiritual effort to become a better person. And then, when you have, to a certain extent, please God, He send the avatars, the incarnations of God, who have only one purpose. They are going to liberate you if all the other people, you didn't have to. You could listen to the intellectual talk, you could take it or leave it. But once you follow avatar, you have forfeit your choice. You have taken a vow that you are going to allow the Master to annihilate your ego. And so I'm telling you, all of you who have taken a kriya, you don't know what you have done, believe me. See, that's why when people come to me, I do not push them anymore to follow this teaching, because unless they really want God. Your specific development will draw you to a specific teacher. The worst teacher of yoga, which will be held today, which we criticize, has their purpose. They are insane, that may sound, but I realize more and more that everything subserves a divine purpose, in which from the lowest to the highest, you have to go, as the Vedas say, investigate. Many incarnations you go around trying to figure out what we did. Then when you have found, decide wisely and follow this. That means that each one of you should analyze the leader, analyze the teaching, the past, and the fruit produced by that path. Now let me give you an example. If you want forgiveness of your sins, you go to saints. You go to them to be forgiven. If you want to emancipate yourself intellectually without too many sacrifices, you follow the ascending master whose wisdom will gradually convince you what to do. But if you want God alone for himself without demand, just to give yourself to God, then God sent you a guru who has cosmic consciousness, only is one with him. Such was Jesus, such was Krishna, Buddha, Moses, Guru Nanak, Sri Ramakrishna, and the line of the masters, and other great unknown masters who have come throughout the centuries. Those masters have complete mastery over death and come as redemptor. They have no karma of their own. They can only to help the disciple to be free from his own karma. Here are the words, if you would read the only love in page 201, Sridayamata, President answer, does Avatara have karma? Now, it is extremely important for you to follow one master who has no karma, who can take portion of your cross on his back. If that's the person you follow has not realized God, he cannot take your karma. He can only give you, he's only a school teacher. There's a difference between a guru who has realized God and all the teacher. They are school teachers. So Sridayamata say, to appear on earth in human form, however, even a master has to take on a certain amount of delusion, or the very atom of the body could not hold together. But that is not karma. Karma pertains when perfection is not yet attained, as in the case of saints and ascending masters. But when a soul, even as Christ, descends into the world of duality and takes a human form, it thereby accepts certain limitations. We find Jesus Christ tested for 40 days by the power of Maya. Every one of the master or the greatest saint, I studied Saint Catherine of Siena, was an ascending master. She had incredible temptation from Satan and to tangle with him and fight with him to conquer it. But the avatars cannot be defeated. They can be tempted. And the Satan saw everything he has got. They asked the avatar about it. And she said, they have to go through it and they conquer it. But taking on the compulsion of the laws of karma is not one of them. He still remains above and beyond. For instance, our great guru in the 11th century was a king of France, a very important Normandy king. And Sister Ajantamata said, Master, when you were, because of that incredible role you played at that time, was so cruel and so harsh, did you remember that you were an incarnation of God? And Master Sivana said, so once you have attended God organization, no matter what lesser role you may seem to play, the true master always remains one with God. All karma or samskara remain in the causal and astral and physical body to unpitch the soul full manifestation. And they are not in the physical, they are not in the astral, they are not in the causal, they are beyond. The little manifestation of the body is like a triangle which goes to infinity. Yeah, the end of the triangle, there is that little point is the body, and the consciousness of the guru is infinite. So they are not limited by anything. Only us, who have those three vehicles of thought, feeling, and will, are unpitched for our soul full manifestation of cosmic consciousness. The master say, all divine masters who are liberated in God preserve their individuality throughout eternity. Even though they have all become one with God, they realize that all of us one day will be masters. All of us will have regained our divine soul. When somebody told Brahmananda, red cosmic consciousness, the great disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, the saint of the yes, cosmic consciousness. And Brahmananda smiled and said, so what? It's a natural state of the soul. It's your natural state. But we don't know. So in other words, the liberated divine masters all know they come out of God and they emerge again in him. Thus knowing God, they understand that he become their many selves, as Christ, Moses, Krishna, Babaji, and the masters of God. But Jesus was a soul, like you and me, who became one with God, but was always he was always the same personality, as Master said. Moses and Jesus together spent many incarnations working in a spiritual life. Masters accept re-embodiment at God's command, are required to work in harmony with the cosmic mother of lawful nature. In that line, I have discovered that every laws of the universe are not controlled by the father, but by the mother. It is the mother who runs the entire household of the universe. That is why we are lucky that she is the mother, because she is merciful. When somebody asks me in a convocation on the front of 3,000 people, why is self-realization led by ladies? I say, thank God, that pass is hard enough without giving that to the father, believe me. So every master has, from the infinite consciousness, has to enter into a limited consciousness which is known as cosmic mind. He cannot manifest the absolute consciousness, otherwise the atom of his body can stick together. So he said, masters accept re-embodiment at God's command, are required to work in harmony with the cosmic mother of lawful nature, to whom the Lord has given full power over the phenomenal world. To a certain extent, such exalted beings have to place themselves nominally under cosmic delusion, and thus forego full realization of spirit, immutable, unborn, and unmanifest. But they do not have ego consciousness. Ego consciousness means the soul identified with sense consciousness or manas. The great guru's consciousness is unconscious. Their body is. If an our guru suffers disease, we suffer. We saw a young guru Mukunda going to Ram Gopal and say, "Master, can you give me samadhi?" And the master said, "No, your body is not tuned yet. If I give you the shock of omnipresence now, every cell of your body will be burned." So we find that there is a genetic re-engineering who has to take place even in a master. So imperfect is the body when it is not fully enlightened. So we find our gurus, and so did Saramakrishna. Saramakrishna Devatara, when Yasa Vivekananda rolling on the ground and crying and screaming and not sleeping anymore, practicing infernal austerities to commune with the mother, and when the disciples felt that we are not worthy, they came to the master and said, "Master, what is going to happen to us? If you have such intensity and such ardor, what are of us?" And Sri Ramakrishna Allah said, "What do you think is going to accomplish? It took me 15 years before I could reintegrate myself in the mother." And when Sri Ramakrishna meditated, the grass was burned under him, so was intense his desire for God. Now, it's well, we are snoring, you know, we don't know where it's, I mean, we don't know what's happening there. We are slowly awakening. So they are obliged to accept Maya or delusion as the only means by which the body assumes visibility at all. Manifestation of any form testified to the operation of own vibration and is pertinent to creation, not the absolute. So gradually, at the end of his life, our guru went back to do that cosmic consciousness of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which Sri Dayamata say in 1948, Paramahansa Yogananda entered in his great samadhi. So we said, "Well, he was all the time in samadhi. What is that big samadhi?" And that was cosmic consciousness. He went back into the absolute, and they said after that they had a very hard time to communicate with him, because he would be sitting at the table and still sitting looking around. And he said, "Master, he said, I can't figure out which body I am." And when the same thing to me, Vivekananda wasn't heard enough, he stopped by a mirror there. And he had a great number of ladies' disciples. "Oh, vanity, master?" He said, "No, I was trying to figure out who that fellow was." he didn't even know he was on a body. They live in consciousness, you know? They live in consciousness, not in the body. So they had a problem with the master in the comment one day. They were saying, "Oh, let's go, happy birthday to you," to him. And a deep voice say, "Oh, my mind is far, far away from here." Everything became quiet. Then he realized, wait, said, "But I'm here just the same." I'll tell you, it's worthwhile to have. You are blessed when you can be sacrificed. That is one of those not in his physical presence. But if you are a true disciple, you wait, he will pick you up. "I have chosen thee, thou hast chosen me." So the master said, they have their consciousness allowed them, as I've spoken with many disciples of Paramahansa Yogananda who were with him. He said, it was extraordinary. He came to talk to you, he knew everything about you, he talked to your level, and he thought he had always known you. And we had a West Point officer, a Mandala monk, and Mahatma told us, his master would have been here, when he would be walking on, he would say, hi, General, and he would have kept going. And me, she looked at my head last Christmas, and she said, oh, what master would have done to your head. He used to pour a bucket of water from his window and pour rice on top of the head of his disciples, and it was a joke. So we find the true masters, they do not demand worship of themselves, not Jesuism, not Buddhism, not Krishnaism, but God. That is why, as the master say, Jesus' body was crucified once, but his teaching has been crucified since. Because they have not understood what he was preaching. He was not preaching his own person because he had no ego. When he said, I am, as the God in me, he had no ego. So he said, I am the breath of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And I say unto you that he also has seen me and believe not. And here the translation from our guru, from his own cosmic consciousness, say, the Christ intelligence. Now that Christ consciousness was known by Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint Thomas of Aquino. In the 15th century in Spain, I was there in Avila, when Saint Teresa of Avila revealed to the Catholic Church, to her own counselor, the great cosmic light. She didn't see so much the face of Jesus, but she beheld an infinite light. And in that light, Jesus spoke to her. And the Inquisition were going to torture her and burn her up and recant. But thanks God, they looked into the Summa Theologia of the 11th century of Thomas of Aquino, and he had spoken of the formless Christ, which is the Christ intelligence. So here Jesus spoke, the Christ intelligence and the enlightened human consciousness in me are one. Thus, the Christ consciousness in me is the source of life and consciousness of all living beings. Not just Christian, all living beings. Because the Christ consciousness is manifested in my life, I am conscious of it. Any devotees who come to me with receptive attitude and who discipline his life accordingly to my teaching will find the hunger of all mortal spiritual wants forever satisfied. Now, he didn't say physical wants. He said, we'll all find the hunger of all mortal spiritual wants forever satisfied. Our constant hungering for life through the five senses is our unfulfilled soul. No matter how much love you are going to receive, no matter how much money, you will always be lonely. Because God has made this creation foolproof. Without him, you cannot succeed in anything. You may fool yourself, you have been succeed, yes, you may have done well in the world, but unless you are with God, you have not attained success. That's why he said, but I said to you, you have only seen my body, have not felt the Christ consciousness within it, have not believed what is in me. Many people have met Paramahansa Yogananda. They did not know who they had before. One of the monks who came 3 years after his death, no, 1 year after his death, he was in Hollywood Church, he saw Paramahansa Yogananda perspiring profusely. So he said, my God, he's a master, he should be perspiring. So he walked out. He missed the unique opportunity to meet his guru. Another guy was a huge bodybuilder, and our guru was small, mind you, very small. Looked at the wishing well Washington, and then in the hand, very small. So the guy said, well, if he's a real master, he should be a huge body like Schwarzenegger, or something like that. No. If you have the slightest criticism, you miss the bus. You miss a whole lifetime. Here the guy said, my God, I saw my own guru. The first thing I did, I criticized him. And I've just spent a whole lifetime without him. I will know better next time, he said. So the devotees who tune in his devotion and attention with my consciousness, no matter how sinful or error-stricken he is, I will never forsake him. For the consciousness hidden behind my earthly body is the same universal consciousness which is present behind heavenly cosmic energy. And the Christ intelligence in all creation is in tune with the will of my Father, the Father existing beyond creation. And is my will tuned with his will? So, is my will tuned with his will? That's why Jesus, when a young man asked him, good master, and he said, why could only good? There is only one good, and that's my Father which is in heaven. Jesus all his life referred to his Father, not to himself, not to Jesus. So we find that's the first quality of a master which you recognize at once if you are spiritually developed. This is unique. There is nothing more convincing more of the authenticity of those masters because of their name. That was the quality number one of all the Christian saints who have ever existed. If anybody, Jesus said, if any devotees wants to be foremost in God's eye, he should desire to be the least in the world's estimation. He should be the humblest and serve all with love and humility. In utter forgetfulness or egoism or selfishness. Where do you learn that? In married life. Now, where is the husband or the wife who live a complete and selfish life, living totally dedicated to each other? That's my dearest humility. A person who desires to be the greatest in heaven must endeavor as long as he lives. Contact the Christ consciousness in meditation and must utterly keep this consciousness ready to serve all. Good people who do not do any action are not helping the world. Our evil people are extremely, extremely active. Our good people are the ones who come in. God is the greatest in his heavenly kingdom of this. So the true masters being one with God is also the greatest, possessing all God's power, because it does not claim any of them. The Hindu scriptures say the one who knows Brahma or spirit is spirit himself. So the true master, which is one with God, is God himself, who is a pure manifestation of God in creation. There is too much really talk about masters. People say to me, turn on the yet cosmic consciousness. I say, man, if I had it, you would ask. Sure. When you are in front of a great saint, man, you know who you were in front of you. And in Corinthian first chapter, verse 23, it's clear. He said, and ye are Christ's. That means you are part, you belong to that consciousness. And Christ is God's. Not God, Christ is God's. That consciousness belongs to God. In other words, you say, I'm that light of the world, and you are children of God. He was not talking of his own, he was talking of his Father in him. So Jesus, like every true master, never acknowledge their ego, for they have none. They have cosmic power, but use them only to free their disciple, not to promote themselves. And here the master's further said, an egotistical person identifies his unlimited soul consciousness with certain physical, mental, or astral powers, and thus create around himself a hedge of limitations which shut out the greater part of his cosmic consciousness. A true master, having within him the all-powerful manifestation of God, does not identify his consciousness with any power and thus limit himself by egotism. He does not separate himself from this power by being conscious of them. He keeps his infinite qualities dissolved in the fathomless ocean of his humbleness. And we found the same thing in Swami Vivekananda. When he was in America, many times he had to use great power. First, his guru wanted to give him when he was a disciple. And he gave him the famous, probably the same amulet that was given to our guru. When you receive that amulet, because it materialized in the hand of Paramahansa Yogananda's mother, you have the 10 power potential to be saints. And when he came to him, he said, I want to give you this. I said, Master, will you tell me to find God? No, I don't want it. Master was very pleased. And later on, he had it. Because one day, when he was in America, one lady was talking to him. He had an interview. And there were 3,000 people waiting. And somebody came to the door, please, somebody come up, quickly. And people are waiting. Oh. And he went, she immediately left, and he was going to a much longer road. And when she arrived, he was already there. So she could figure out how he was in his room and he was in another place at the same time. So she said, at the end, when I meet him, I'm going to ask him about yoga. And at the end, when she met Swami Vivekananda, they say, what is that sudden interest in the science of yoga, he told her. But those masters do not want any disciples. if you are looking for power, to take you a long time. As the disciples approached to him, to the masters, because they had great difficulty with sensual desire, as he said to them, "What do you mean this question?" He said, "Desire for power is nearly impossible to get rid of it. Life after life after life after life, you have to come back to fulfill every new desire for power." So you're very careful. The master say, "I'm not your leader, but your servant. I am the dust at your feet." Which makes me remember our Pope was invited to a monastery of ascetic, and when the monk said, "Please, Your Holiness, leave us something from you." So the Pope looked around and he wrote his name in the dust. Some Pope, man. He said, "Oh, that kind of guy impressed me, believe me." And the mother said, "I want only to tell you of the great joy that I feel in you. And my only desire for you is to teach you how to feel the love of God. Not for God, of God. First you have to feel His love, then you can give it back to Him." And he said, "When I can place you in that presence of God, then you are, nothing can hurt you anymore." So I have no personal ambition, but I have the greatest ambition to share my spirituality with all the people of the earth. I want to remain steadily in the Spirit of God, that I can give you something, that I can saturate you, bathe you, and charge you forever and forever in this infinite ocean of light that I behold. And I say, I want to saturate you, bathe you, and charge you forever in this infinite ocean of light that I behold. Now, let me describe to you that ocean of light by Saint Gemma Galgani of Lucca, Italy, 1902. This is what that little saint said. This is how she saw Christ. She said, "When I see Jesus, I did not see His face." She said, "Imagine that you see a light of immense splendor that penetrates everything, surrounds everything, enlightens everything, and at the same time give life and animation to all, so that whatever exists that is being from this light, me clear. Thus I see my God and creatures in Him." Imagine a fiery furnace, great as the universe, nay, infinitely greater. That little girl, 18 years old, and cosmic consciousness, he said, that burns everything without consuming anything, and burning illumines and strengthens. And those who are the most penetrated by its flame are happiest and desire more ardently to be. That I see, thus I see our soul in God." What a magnificent expression of a really Christian saint about how he is telling us in the great sense of Buddha. And I want to say, "May you all be supercharged with the greatest power emanating from me, by the power of the Father and nonetheless. My hand, my feet, my mind, and soul, my meditation and ecstasy, all belongs to the Father." And here the mother said, "The final step to God consciousness must be shown by one who has himself achieved that goal." Now you have to have the deepest possible, if you have been drawn and follow 100% these great masters, that means that you have convinced God of your sincerity, that you can put yourself a medal. Anybody who is studying this path, you have a high sincerity. I say, when at last the devotee finds the highest path, I say that you say, "Oh, so I have a teacher at the highest pass, sure." Okay, I don't insist, you know. So the guru said so, I'm not arguing with my guru. When at last a devotee finds the highest pass, he must obediently follow the guru. The guru does not and will not force obedience from the disciple. However, anyone who is foolish enough consciously to resist the unbreakable teaching of truth will hurt himself by destroying his spiritual life and delay his evolution. I tell you, each time I argue, I was a saint, I always lost. No matter how brilliant my thesis was prepared, I always lost. I crossed so many times with my nemata. I don't fight with small ones. It lasted about 1 minute and a half, and I was on the floor. Their blades are not dull like my mind, they're sharp blades. It is difficult to know him, so the past is like a razor edge. Cooperating with the guru, thoughts make the path easy. The true guru purpose is not to draw the disciple to him, but to bring the disciple to self-realization. The love of a guru received from a devotee is given by the guru to God. When a spiritual preceptor finds a student in tune with him, he is able to reach him more quickly than a student who resists him. Now, it is not simple to recognize who is your guru. You have to understand that. Out of his 12 disciples, there was only two who knew who Jesus was. The first one was John the Beloved, who attained cosmic consciousness, and the second was Peter. And when Peter realized, we would say, "I believe in Christ," he said, "Blessed art thou indeed, Peter, for it is not my flesh and blood who has revealed to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter was close to God, therefore God told him who his guru was. And the master translates as follows. Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Peter, by your own good karma and the blessings of the Father, that through your own intuition he has revealed to you the truth about me. Anyone identified with flesh and blood cannot perceive the Christ consciousness within me. It is the Father omnipresent in his heavenly cosmic consciousness, who through your exalted consciousness has revealed to you the nature of Christ consciousness, which is within me." So those of you who follow the Masters and give 100% to the Masters, loyalty, and mind you, do you know what I just discovered yesterday? I can hardly write. I discovered yesterday after 20 years what 100% loyalty means. You know what it means? Unconditional attitude toward the Guru. That's 100% loyalty. When no matter what he does, you meditate for 50 years, 60 years, you see nothing, you hear nothing, you experience nothing. You, most of the time, you're in trouble. You keep walking. You keep walking. As Dalai Lama says, "Panat, panat, panjai," striving, striving. One day, you will get to the goal. Until then, you have to bear any cross. Because we are too proud. That's why the humble man is the one who goes one day in the front gate of the house of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux before she became a great saint of France. There was a huge horse there was blocking the passage. Nobody can get through. But Saint Thérèse was so small, she ran right through the horse, you know. And she said, "That's the way we should be." So humility, you must be able to go through the meshes of Maya. If you are proud, you're going to carry your cross until finally you're going to touch the floor with your head down there. And finally you're going to look up there like that, and man, "I have had enough of that cross." "So, okay, I will do what you say." I know. I'm an expert in this. So, in John 15:15, we are told that the gurus are sent by God to us. We cannot choose them. It is God who designed your guru. Therefore, once you have found your guru and run somewhere else, you're in trouble. John 15:15. I used to make a joke to the monks. "Do you know what John 15:15 say?" "No, I don't either." So I said, "Uh-oh, I better go and look what it says in the Bible." So there it is. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that in my name they may give it to you, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, they may give it to you." I say, "Hallelujah." So Jesus pointed out that the disciple has not been the one to choose him, but that in response to their prayers of many lives and to the will of the Heavenly Father, his particular incarnation of Christ consciousness had been chosen to guide them in the soul path and to saturate them with divine ardor, by means of which they could go into deep ecstasy and manifest unerring wisdom that would remain with them forever. They did not know that he was coming to them, but he came intentionally as a God-sent guru preceptor for the sake of their eternal salvation. They did not know it. They did not recognize Jesus. They say, "If you have known my Father, you will recognize me." If you are in tune with God, God will tell you who is your guru. Therefore, if you don't know who is your guru, and every one of you has got one. Don't jump into conclusion. It's not easy to find him. I found mine in Switzerland. I look at him, my soul recognizes him. I said, "I have found my person." "You know he's not. You read his teaching, I don't know. What does he teach?" I know absolutely nothing of him. I had one look at the pictures and say, I found my person. I was in tears for 1 second there. My soul recognized him from past life. Not my mind. So the Master said, it is the a true incarnation of God. Never try to draw attention upon himself, but to try to lead this up directly to God by transmitting his divine wisdom and their realization according to the receptivity of the disciple. And it is the duty of the guru and disciple to be loyal to each other, not only in one life, but for many lives these are necessary to reach God. Those who are 100% loyal to a true guru can be sure of ultimate liberation and ascension. So the ancient rishis, the sages, discovered many ways to curtail the periods of men exiling delusion. There are certain mechanical features in the laws of karma that can be skillfully adjusted by the fingers of wisdom. And the guru is the one who knows how to do it. And he say, if the Lord did not show mercy and give special amnesties and divine paroles from sin, his erring children would suffer indefinitely life after weary life. So he explained that there are two different, the guru has in his hand two different passports for you. According to your effort you are making in this lifetime, if you go to the end, even if one has been a mediocre disciple, the master say, even if you fail, but you keep trying to the very end, you shall be reborn as a woman or a man of self-control and deep desire to meditate. Therefore, it is called salvation. You are reborn with great power, and you are going to be tested further. If you have passed your test in this lifetime, they give you amnesty or liberation. The guru has that kind of power to give you your freedom. Remember, with the guru, you are going to achieve anything, say, by longer, deeper, thirsty, guru, continuous, guru-given meditation, calm the celestial somebody, example. Our Mukunda, I am the master when he was a boy. Shri Yukteswar, come on Mukunda. Master, you're always disturbing me when I'm meditating. Oh yes, I know you're meditating like leaves in the wind. Now if an avatar has a problem with meditation as a young man, imagine us. I say, come here. And hit him on the chest there, and then I'll do in samadhi. You read the poem samadhi, just the guru given. You may make the effort for 50 years, and you think you have accomplished nothing. So you meet the guru, even in dream at night, a superconscious vision, pop, and you're ahead. You wake up in the morning, you're a different being, you can do it. So the quality of Mahir of the guru's help, he will ever explain it to you. He said, there are 25% of the guru. Will take 25% of your karma when you take kriya. So you still have 75% to make it, you can't make it to 75%. So God is willing to give you another 50% if you want him at all. And that you will have to put in deep intimacy yourself. The Master said the quality of a yogi meditation, the guru's help, and God's grace, these are the three requisites of liberation. I repeat that. The quality or the depths of need of a yogi's meditation, the guru's help, and God's grace. These are the three requisites of liberation. No matter how much a devotee strives for salvation and is required to make the effort wholeheartedly for God, that effort constitutes only 25% of the requirement for liberation. Another 25% depends upon his guru's blessing, spiritually stimulating disciples striving. But the guru's help and the devotee's effort notwithstanding, it is necessary to have also God's grace, which may be said to constitute the remaining 50% of the requirement. God, the creator of the cosmic laws of karma that bind human life, is the sole judge as to whether devotees has fulfilled all the laws of spiritual conduct required for liberation. However, a devotee who, with the help of his guru, fulfills all the law and then insolently expect immediate liberation, will not find. God is not a mathematically produced jackpot. But the devotee fulfills the divine law and also has complete love for God. That love draws us. And that is God's law. Steadfastness in seeking wisdom and in practicing yoga is essential for reaching liberation. In his daily life, the devotee should apply the guru-given or scriptural wisdom and should immerse himself in the peace born of the regular practice of yoga technique. wisdom guarded devotee by red reason and perception, or falling to the pits of ignorance and sense pleasure. Everybody wants a physical guru going to pet them and tell them how great they are, how wonderful they are, when actually the master said, he left purposely. The guru knew we are going to worship him, therefore he left. And he said, and I will be gone. You will be never very separated from me, because I have impregnated every single word of this teaching in the spirit of my father. Therefore, the teaching is the guru. And now I want to read to you the last poem which Buddha Mokshananda wrote about the guru. And at that, there was a man who knew what the guru was and said, "Oh, man of God, some can't believe that you are a sage, a saint, a seer. Some do not know your greatness. Some do not glimpse your nature rare. Oh, God incarnate, how can it be?" They ask, "How can it be?" Sometimes I wonder too, not with doubt, but with awe, with gratitude, that your life touched mine and made it new. I do not presume to know your great estates, too small my mind to grasp your stature tall, but from your teachings and from those elder ones upon the path who have practiced what you taught, I have raised a gleam that filled my all. If from this day through darkness gorge, his soul must creep, if from this hour all troubles double and their shadows press across the corridors of my mind and heart, I will never forget your gaze of power that met mine when I last met you. That gaze, no word can tell what prompting to a life divine you called me then. God first was there. Not the kind that hurts or burns, but that which refines the soul, that plants a living hope, that lives a life of prayer. And love was there, and love that a love that's pure, that pure. That love has nourished me year on year, that love unceasing I feel it most. Doing meditation with my mind on you, and I realize you are always near. I know that you are that your celestial steadfast gaze ever is in every soul who went to walk the very divine that you made clear and find your footprint and rush on the goal. While there may be some you see my verse, and the God if you do not see, if that one in you may either fall, but O Gurudev, rise from its sleep, that one in you." And there you have a tape of Guru Mokshananda where he speaks about remembrance of the Guru. And you have the importance of a true Guru by Guru Anandamoy, who was many years with the Masters. And you have the Guru Messenger of Truth by Manili Mata, who is our Vice President, who was trained. Now, if you want to get a glimpse of what the Guru was, get those tapes and study. Don't just listen to them, study. And it will be gradually, things will begin to open. I will give you many more classes on the Guru. Today I am giving you what is a true Guru, who is a true Guru, and later on I will, next class, to which I will tell you what the Guru expects on your present state of consciousness.